Radio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to the Rock of God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu. King of Spice desu. Kobashi Kenta. Hidaka Aikuto. Onegai shimasu.
What? Oja Gundamata. How the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my god, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my god, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you've forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hold it, now I'll watch the hood wink. Does it make you stop, think? You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the shallot cheese. I like the sushi, cause it's never touched a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Speak like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value.
And good evening. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me is, as always, my awesome producer, Sir Rockin.
What is up, people? I am in a good mood. I feel great. Let's have a good show tonight.
I has fried chicken belly, so I'm in a very good mood.
Can you tell I'm sounding better than I have been the last few days?
Yes, you've been sleeping!
I know, I'm well-rested, I feel better, I'm great tonight, we're going to have a good old time tonight on the show.
So that doesn't mean you can't fake sick for Sunday? Well done, well played. Well played. By the way, I haven't heard that song in forever.
I know, it's a classic.
Which is sad, if you really think about it.
I know, it really is, but... it's a good song.
It is a good song.
Bare Knuckle Ladies have put out a couple good songs. Oh, that's one of them.
Yeah. I miss the Bare Knuckle Ladies. But anyway, we've got a lot to get into tonight.
We do.
We actually prepped the show, so yay! But first, I think we should get into our question of the night.
Let's get into the question of the night. And I'm inspired by WWE, one of their shows.
WWE Inbox. Got tweeted a question. I forget the girl's name or the guy's name that sent it, but basically the question was this. What is growing in Damian Sandow's beard? And if you haven't seen it, go watch it on YouTube to get their answers, especially Damian Sandow's answer. The look on his face when they just first cut to him is priceless.
It really was.
But yeah, so that is our question of the night. We will be discussing that at the end of the show, and I saw some of the answers out on Facebook. King Kittens, well done, well played, I liked it.
So yeah, we'll get into that later in the program, as we normally do here on The Rack, if you're joining us for the first time listening on PWMania.com.
Yes. And come over to wildtalkradio.com and click on the live button and come to our chat room. Come talk to us. We like it when our listeners come talk to us. Our chat room is very interactive, and we didn't bite. No, Jersey, I liked yours, too. Yours was good, too.
Yes. It's only 23-13. Jesus, I thought Baltimore would be up more.
Oh, that's right. There's a football game on, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a football game on tonight. But we're going to get into the whole NFL ref things later in the program because we got things to say.
Yeah, but first, the big news of the week, it's not WWE related, it's NFL related. The refs are back! Yay!
They are back, finally. Well, they're officially not back yet. The lockout was temporarily lifted today.
cares? They're back.
I understand, but I'm just saying, technically, it's still locked up. Until, like, it gets ratified over the weekend.
But the refs are still going to be there.
Yes.
Sunday,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, that's all that counts. No more popcorn high school wrestling refs.
No, high school refs are going to... Popcorn League refs will be refereeing any games. But apparently they said one of the refs tonight is kind of like, sort of like one of them, so who knows?
He's probably rusty, but you know what? All the refs weren't like him, so I will accept it. But, yeah, so yay! The lockout's almost over. Thank you, God.
There is a God out there. They heard us.
The football gods have heard us. That or Roger Goodell heard the outcry of the fans, the players, and realized that someone was eventually going to come for his head unless it got fixed. So.
And he apologized.
Good. As he should.
He apologized for the, you know, the play on the field. It was not up to the standards of the NFL. Or something like that.
Even though the ref is still standing by his decision saying it was the right call. Which, you know what, I can't blame him for. But, yeah, he's like, I made the right call. No, you gave Seattle the game, dude. That's what you did.
Because I had them on my fantasy team.
Yeah. Hope it was worth it. So hope it was worth it. By the way, I want to know, if anybody could tell me how many times that guy's house has been egged in the last week, I would love to know. Just saying.
He'll probably be on TMZ at some point.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm waiting for it to pop up on NFL.com. But speaking of TMZ, well, one of WWE's alumni made it on TMZ this week.
Oh, did they?
Yes, for two separate incidents. It seems Justin Roberts got friendly with the police. He got popped twice in 1 week, not, of course, beating Sonny's record of 3 times in 3 days. But
oh, I heard something about Sonny, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
I watched a clip of a video today, and let's just say she had sunny days with a British wrestler.
Oh my. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't need to be seeing that. So yeah, Justin Roberts met with the police. I think one of them was, I know one of them was speeding. He was doing...
He made an illegal left turn in Toronto and was fined $52, and he drove 74 and 55 zone in Pennsylvania and was fined $160.
I have to applaud the speeding ticket. That's well done.
Because, you know, Lindsay has, you know, is a pro at it.
I have lead foot disease. It's a problem in my family. It comes from my father's side. Yeah. We are the people of the lead feet. So yeah, totally understand going 70 and a 50. Totally get that.
If Lindsay doesn't do that at least 5 times in a week, you know, there's something wrong.
I don't go 70 and a 50 unless I'm really in a hurry, which is usually when I'm late for work. And that happens almost every Friday. But, yeah, so, well, Justin Roberts, well done. Bravo.
Yes, bravo, Justin Roberts. Bravo. Somebody got into, you know, there was a lawsuit filed by TNA a few months ago against Scott Steiner. You heard all about this?
Oh, yeah, I heard all about it, to shut him up.
He is now counter-suing TNA and alleging that the company is breaching their contract with him.
What?
Yeah, in responding to TNA's suit against him, Steiner denied that he ever agreed to not disparage the company, that speaking out against it would breach his deal, that he was involved in a concerted effort to disparage the company and its officers, that he ignored a request to stop, that he is in legal and binding agreement with TNA, and that TNA has suffered damages as a result of his actions. Steiner stated his TNA deal expired. And while he was offered a new contract, he opted to turn it down and never executed the deal. Steiner has demanded the TNA suit against him be thrown out of court and request a jury trial should the case go to trial.
Oh, dear. Scott Steiner, please shut up. Please, just stop. You're embarrassing yourself.
They also failed to provide properly provide, as they were contractually obligated to, an accounting for all royalty payment due to him, failed to provide royalty statements of all his merchandise and video royalties, and failed to pay all royalties due to him.
What royalties?
Steiner demanded judgment in a yet-to-be-determined amount.
Dude, they're dealing with WWE. You're just going to have to wait. And oh my god, look at number 80 on the Browns run. Anyway, sorry. Just saw this flash of white and orange going across my screen, and it's like, what?
What? What's going on? But yeah, so Scott Steiner's, you know, countersuing TNA. Yeah. It's going to be a whole big mess.
Steiner, stop. Just stop. Let it go. There's no point.
There really isn't. But somebody's might be opening a restaurant, Lindsay.
Who? Is it JR? Is he opening his barbecue place back up? Please tell me he's reopening his barbecue place.
No, it's not JR. It's...
Damn it.
The one, the only, the immortal Hulk Hogan.
Why?
It's going to be a backdrop for a reality show with Hulk Hogan now being in the restaurant business.
Yeah, because, you know, that's always a stable business plan, is opening a restaurant based on the fact that you're going to have a reality show based around it. Yeah, that's smart.
The Tampa Bay Times reported that Rocky Point Krabby Bill's, which was purchased a few months back, may be renamed Hogan's for a reality show. The owner of the restaurant is Hogan's partner in his new beach shop that sells Hogan merchandise in Clearwater Beach. And they're going to use it for the backdrop for a reality show.
That's a fail. Sorry, that's a fail.
Yeah, I got nothing to add. It's going to be a fail.
I have news for you. If he bought the restaurant, it wasn't doing well to begin with. Basing it in a reality show, I doubt he's going to do much better.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there.
Unless people just go in there to get on TV, which they will probably do, but still.
Doesn't everybody?
This is true. Everybody goes into restaurants that have reality shows based around them just to get on TV.
I know I would. I'm a camera hog. Spotlight. I need a spotlight on me all the time.
You need a spotlight? Need a spotlight on you all the time?
Yeah. I'm that egotistical.
Well, in that case, I've got news for you.
You do?
We need to get you on Hulu.
Can I be on Hulu?
You can be totally on Hulu, but you know who else is going to be on Hulu?
Who?
WWE.
I'm not sharing the spotlight with them.
You kind of have to, dude.
God damn it.
That's right. WWE and Hulu Plus have inked a deal to bring WWE programming to the online network, to which I say, just start streaming your shit on YouTube. It would make me so happy.
Here's the thing. This is going to make them millions and millions of dollars.
Hashtag millions of dollars?
Yeah. This whole deal been coming together for the last month or so. But Vince McMahon changed his mind. There was going to be a lot more content besides seeing all the shows, all the WWE programming. You were going to probably see some of the network shows. But, of course, Vince changed his mind and, you know, things, you know, got changed, like always. And so now...
Vince!
So now all the programming you'll see a day after. So that you get Raw on Tuesdays, SmackDown on Saturdays, Main Event on Thursdays, NXT on Thursdays, Superstars on Fridays, or Saturday. Anyway, you're going to get Superstars, NXT, SmackDown, Raw, and Saturday Morning Slam and Main Event all on Hulu Plus for $7.99 a month, just the day after it airs.
I'm okay with that.
But apparently when they put up Raw, they only put up they trimmed it down to 90 minutes.
Oh, those bastards.
They cut out a lot of the Daniel Bryan stuff.
That's the best part of the show!
I understand this, but according to them, they cut out the best match to Ziggler and Kofi. I don't get it. I don't understand it. That's what they did.
Daniel Bryan and Kane fate an orgasm on national television, and you cut it out of the show. Why? I demand to know. I demand answers.
We will be calling Hulu after the break. No.
Yeah, right, we will. I demand to know the reason for this.
So, yeah, that's the whole deal with Hulu. But did you hear about SummerSlam?
I heard Brock Lesnar might be getting a new deal because of SummerSlam.
Because apparently the preliminary buy rate for SummerSlam was 350,000 buys. It's up like 40,000 something buys from like the previous few years.
Really?
Yeah. But that doesn't sound like a lot. I understand this. But in the U.S. and Canada, the buy rate was up a lot, while internationally it tanked. So the domestic buy rate was really up, and they were really happy with it.
Well, you know what? So long as they're happy, that's all that matters.
Yeah, so Brock Lesnar will probably come back for another year.
Boo. But, yeah, I really have no transition for this other than, well, I guess you could say then that somebody isn't coming back.
Oh?
Oh, yes. It seems that the daughter of Eddie and Vicky, I cannot save her first name. I think it's Maria Guerrero. Eddie and Vicky's daughter. Just go with that. Requested her release from WWE this week, and it was apparently granted, and she is no longer a part of FCW.
Well, so much for that.
Yeah, they said that her vocal skills or her mic skills were off the charts, but sadly, her wrestling was a bit lacking.
Then train her. Just saying. All you gotta do is train her a little bit and, you know, let her work. Give her time. She's been there, what, 3 months?
I'm not sure how long she's been there.
I think I read 3-4 months, something like that. I could be totally wrong. But I think she was there 3-4 months. And, you know, you gotta give a person time to, you know, develop. But you say she asked for a release. Maybe she didn't realize she couldn't cut it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she wanted to go on and do other things, but she has moved on. And it seems that, well, another developmental diva has gotten herself into a little bit of trouble.
Oh, no.
Natalie Osman, a.k.a. Buggy Nova. That is a fantastic name, by
Buggy
the way.
Buggy Nova?
Okay. Buggy Nova. Has checked into rehab to resolve a substance-related dependency matter.
Okay. I hope they get recover. I hope they get their issues, you know, tied away and get on the road to sobriety.
Yes, so good luck, Buggy Nova. We're giving you the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The double thumbs up.
Yeah. Just stay positive.
That's all you gotta do. That's all you gotta do. Stay positive.
Yeah, stay positive. But yeah, staying positive, I think we should take our first break of the evening, don't you?
I think we should.
Alrighty, so you are listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about TNA Impact and what happened on tonight's show, because, oh my goodness, it was a doozy. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Found a touch of concrete within the door. Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise scene, but the...
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Attention, Wild Talk Radio Network fans. Are you looking for a show that is wholesome? A show that is family-oriented and kids-friendly? And a show that is filled with politically correct humor? Then tune in to the WTR Network every Saturday night at midnight Eastern for all things G-rated.
Hold on. Fuck that politically correct bullshit. Tune in Saturday nights for No Limits Extreme Conversation, covering everything from, well, just about anything you can possibly imagine. If you can think it, it will be talked about and more live Saturday nights on Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live midnight Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
This Sunday, WrestleTalk Radio gets Rated R. On this day, WWE Hall of Famer Edge joins the show to talk a wide range of subjects, including his Hall of Fame induction, hugging Kane, and so much more. Tune in this Sunday to hear from the Rated R superstar on WrestleTalk Radio, live 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
This town with the
boom boom. You have the most interesting music choices so far tonight.
This is a 14 pay-per-view theme song.
That's insane. Anyway, welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by PWMania.com. If you're just joining us, we were covering the news and notes of the week, as well as we gave out our question of the night, which is what is hiding, or what is growing, I should say, in Damian Sandow's beard. But now, well, We're going to talk about a little Impact and their weird music choices, apparently.
That was Low Cash Cowboys, Boom Boom. That's the theme of Slammiversary 2007. Hey, I clicked the TNA folder, I saw it, said Boom Boom, figured I'd play it, see what the fuck it was.
Yeah, that sounded way better live. Just saying, because I was at that show, and yeah, it sounded better live. Probably because you couldn't hear it very well.
Probably. Means I've had it for 4 or 5 years. Anyway, tonight's Impact.
That's sad, dude.
But anyway, tonight's Impact, Lindsay.
I want to know, before we get into this, I want to know who on that staff has a boner for, like, dark torture, pain kind of stuff.
Bruce Pritchard, probably.
I mean, my God! We're going to get into it, and we're going to go, this is later. I was sitting there watching that one part of the show, and I'm going, oh, this is not going to end well. When did I flip over to sci-fi and tuned into Saw? You know? It's like, what the fuck?
I don't know.
We'll get there, trust me. I've got a little branding and raving to do. But, the show opens tonight with, well, the GM coming out, baseball bat in hand, the one that he swiped from Sting.
Take me out to the ball game.
This phrase almost hurts to say. The Babe Ruth of professional wrestling.
It's been called that for years.
It still hurts.
I think it was a WWE name, too.
Oh, God. Anyway, Hogan comes out, brother. And he reminds us that, well, Slammiversary is 3 weeks away. Which I said to Rock, oh, my God, they have 2 matches.
No, you said one.
One, and then you corrected me and said two.
And they had 2 matches booked 3 weeks before the biggest show of the year.
And I have interest to only see one of them.
That wasn't even booked. But
the,
anyway.
Go, World Tag Team Champions of the World. Go. Anyway, Hogan says that, he's been just a little distracted with Aces and Eights. And that, he's going there tonight, and he's going to take care of business.
Brother.
But then he brings up the TNA TV title. He whines about Devon a little bit more, which I guess Hogan really did want him to stay if he's whining about him on live TV. But
if you follow Hulk Hogan on Twitter, which I don't because I can't because he blocked me for some goddamn reason, he's been whining on Twitter. I wanted to re-sign him, but, you know, I've been trying to, but they can't re-sign him. Brother.
Because, you know, he has that authority. It's called Devon wasn't getting used.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he mentions Devon, he says he's sad to see him go, and honestly so are we, but, you know, understand his reasons for leaving, but basically, well, with Devon's departure, that vacates the TV title, and so they're going to decide it tonight, and Hogan says he has handpicked 4 men, Samoa Joe, Magnus, Garrett the Future Bischoff, and
hey,
Mr. Anderson.
Anderson, but don't use the word future when you use Garrett Bischoff, because that's Kazarian's name. Come on now. There's standards.
Sorry, it's in the recap.
Wasn't Frankie the Future Kazarian at one point?
I think it was. The future's here for Kazarian. He's passed the name on.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. Anyway, he's going to talk to these 4 men, and he guarantees us a new TV champion tonight. Then he moves on to James Storm and Bobby Roode. Basically, everybody's sick of it. Everybody's throwing up their hands. So if they want to kick each other's ass, he's going to let them do it. And he's going to let them do it in a street fight, brother.
All right. A street fight, that's all great. But it needed to be bigger. I'm just saying. I would have liked to see Last Man Standing. But that's my preference.
But it is bigger. Because the street fight has a special guest enforcer.
Really? Who's it going to be?
And it's a man that crunches bones, cracks necks, destroys lives. It's that MMA badass, King Mo.
Cricket? Cricket?
Notice the sarcasm. Yeah, I had to type to Rock and said, really? No, really? You couldn't get somebody, you couldn't even bring in Chris Harris for a night?
Like, that would have made some sense.
Because he's got histories with both of them, but okay.
Get the new Spike TV project on the air. King Mo, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be introduced to him next week on Impact.
Woohoo! But yeah, so, basically, King Mo is your special guest enforcer for the street fight, and I have to agree with Rock. I would have liked to have seen it be Last Man Standing, but you know what? I'll take a street fight because these two will absolutely beat the fuck out of each other all over the arena.
Yes, yes, they will.
So, it will be a good match.
Yes, yeah, you know, it's Bobby Roode and James Serpa. They're going to beat the living crap out of each other, and it's going to be a good match. So, I'm looking forward to it. But Hogan wasn't done with his long promo, was he?
No, this took forever. And by the way, the fans really didn't know how to react to this, which was kind of awesome. Anyway, he's now ready to talk about Aces and Eights, those dastardly devils. He again reminds us he's going to their clubhouse tonight to see what they're made of, and he's going in there for a fight, even if it means he's got to go in there all alone, brother.
Fan chant, Hogan, Hogan, Hogan. And he said, you guys have to have my back, brother.
Well, I don't know if the fans had his back, but somebody sure as hell did.
Who?
Out came the one, the only, the future TNA Hall of Famer, Sting!
He came looking for his bat.
That's my line.
Damn it.
But yes, he did. He came looking for his bat. Which Hogan reminded him that he just borrowed.
Yeah, he just borrowed his bat.
But Sting says that this whole thing started with him, and he promised he'd have Hogan's back. He says he's going with Hogan tonight, and he has his back, Jack. Hogan then asks for another bat, and the two embrace in the center of the ring as we get sent to the first commercial break of the evening.
Got the job done, the opener. I have a little comment about what we're going to talk about in a second. Yeah, with they aired a video package for Mr. Anderson's Bound for Glory memory, and that was 10-10-10. Wouldn't your memory be something positive for the company? And I thought 10-10-10 was the beginning of Immortal.
We're not going to talk about that. He had to pick something, and somebody had to pick something, and that was the one that got picked for Anderson.
That was the death of the company, brother. When Jeff Hardy turned heel.
Ooh. Oh my god.
And then Hogan leaped to the ring. Had to be helped. That was the saddest thing I've ever seen. Security had to help with the run-in.
Yeah, I know. It was...
That was sad. That was really sad. Not his finest moment. Anyway, we had our first matchup of the evening.
No, get to give my thoughts on this.
Okay, go ahead. I thought it was just a video package.
No, I was talking about the opener.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, I liked it. I thought it was good, except for Hogan screwing up, but it was a little too long. Anyway, continue.
Our first matchup of the evening, Kurt Angle versus Chavo Guerrero versus Christopher Daniels. You know, it's the three teams, so it's, three people from the teams, and they're fighting in a triple threat match to see if one team can get the advantage, and then all that fun stuff. The partners all got in the ring and argued and wanted to brawl. Daniels and Kazarian were starting shit with everybody. Yeah!
I have to say the highlight of this match was Christopher Daniels walked to the ring, because I think he enjoyed it a little bit too much.
He was really enjoying playing with himself walking to the ring.
And it's so wrong that I got enjoyment out of watching him do that. I don't know why. It's sick. It's wrong that he's sitting there walking to the ring, stroking his belt, which, yes, is hanging out of his pants, ladies and gentlemen. And stroking right where a certain place would be, his happy place. So, yeah. Anyway, I don't know why I enjoyed that. It just, it was wrong. I'll go to church in the morning.
Bullshit.
Friday I wake up in time, which won't happen.
Yeah.
So.
The plan is to go to church and confess your sins because you enjoyed Christopher Daniels playing with his belt on the way to the ring.
Yeah, and the priest totally wouldn't get that unless he was a wrestling fan.
Anyway, Daniels picked up the victory. Chavo hit the Three Amigos on Daniels, but was cut off by Kurt when he tried for a frog splash. Daniels rolled up Chavo as he argued with Kurt for the surprise victory.
Yeah, you know, honestly, this match would have been better if Chavo hadn't been in it.
Sorry, I can't get in Chavo. I really can't.
He's a good wrestler, it's just there was no chemistry between the three of them, and he was really awkward in a lot of spots. I think if it had been just Angle and Daniels, it would have been a really solid match, because their stuff together was good.
Yeah, their stuff is really good together, but it... I just... something about Chavo... I don't know. I just don't like him.
He has no...
He's missing something.
He has no character. He's Chavo Guerrero. He's Chavo Sr.'s son. He's part of the legendary Guerrero family. And they tout that left, right, and center. And we've complained about this before. He doesn't have anything beyond that.
No, he really doesn't.
And I am all for being proud of your family. And to be a part of that family, absolutely. I would be completely proud of it. I would tell everybody I was a Guerrero. But you know what? You have to have something more than that. And if you look at Eddie, he was more than the name. Chavo Sr. is more than the name. Hell, even Hector Guerrero is more than the name.
And Chavo's Chavito, and that's about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, Chavo just does nothing for me, I mean, as far as character-wise. Oh, my God. Okay, no, they didn't score. Sorry, the Browns are trying to score in, like, 2 seconds left in the game.
I just saw the play. that would have been funny if it ended a certain way. Anyway.
I know, right? It almost ended the way it did Monday night.
Hold on, there's a flag.
Of course. I'm just happy to see the proper NFL refs back that know what the hell they're doing and can spot a ball.
Ooh. There was an unnecessary roughness call on the defense. 15-yard penalty.
Automatic first down.
With 2 seconds to go.
Oh, yeah. Baltimore shoved one of the Browns players. Play nice, boys. Play nice.
The real guys are there. They're going to catch it all. Just saying. Anyway, back to Impact.
Yeah, back to Impact. So yeah, Chavo just... I wish he would do more. I wish he was more.
Yes. But moving along a bit, Hogan conducted his first round of Championship Thursday elimination meetings with Mr. Anderson, Joe, Magnus, and Garrett Bischoff.
Yeah, and I have to say, this was really entertaining. Just the bickering back and forth between Magnus and Joe was kind of epic.
Yeah, they were the highlights. Mr. Anderson's like, why should I give a shit about these people? And Garrett Bischoff's just, I'm Garrett Bischoff.
I'm Garrett Bischoff. I'm young. I'm hungry. I deserve this shot because I was Devon's tag partner. That's off Joe and Magnus something awesome, and they start going off on each other about who carried the tag team and everything else, and it was epic. Anderson says he just wants to fight someone and he'll fight Garrett Bischoff. Magnus touts his title reigns and Joe tells him to fuck off. And Hogan has enough of the bickering and says, well, Magnus, you're being too much of a bitch. You need to go.
So Magnus is gone as the first one eliminated in the Championship Thursday.
Yeah, and by the way, Magnus making the gut reference to Joe was hilarious.
And he overthrows it, and that's the game. Anyway.
Yep. By the way, Baltimore wins 23-16 over the Browns.
It's just, Magnus is gone, leaves a Joe, Garrett Bischoff, and Mr. Anderson. Then we saw a little bit of Tara.
We did. We went to backstage where Tara was waiting for Brooke Hogan. Tara chided her for being late. And then they began to talk about, you know, Tara's consequences for last week. But, well, she got interrupted.
She did, but she took a phone call.
She did, from her new boo out in Hollywood. He gave her a call, and apparently they're going to try to lunch with Stacy and George. Good luck with that one. Because, you know, they'll so give you the time of day.
Totally.
But she hangs up and says she's got to go, that Brooke's not giving her any respect. So, well, Hogan says that Tara has to earn her title shot like anybody else, but once again they're interrupted by Tara's mystery boyfriend on the phone, to which Tara uttered the most awesome line that I'm sure every man out there that's a fan of hers wants clipped, including for Cena, which is, "Hold on, I'm vibrating."
And clip.
See? I don't care if you use it, dude.
I know. I know. I'm just saying you set yourself up for that one.
Intentionally.
I know.
But you should clip Tara doing it for Forsina.
Can't be bothered. It's not like I'm going to clip this one either. I can't be bothered. Anyway.
Oh, you will. Later. Someday down the road, you will clip it.
We'll see.
Anyway, Brooke takes the phone from Tara and says that, talks to her boyfriend in a really weird baby voice, and tells him that, well, Tara's match is next.
But who's my opponent going to be?
Brooke!
Tell me who my opponent's going to be! So, Tara made her way to the ring.
Yeah, Tara comes out, and, well, we find out who her opponent is.
It's the one, the only, Mrs. Young!
Bam, baby, it's ODB with Mr. ODB himself, Eric Young!
Oh, Eric. You just entertain me so.
He's kind of adorable.
He starts locking up with Tiffany, or Taryn Terrell, whatever you want to call her. It was funny. He was a great ringside. He's great. Eric Young is great.
They need to push him more. I know he's got his TV show, and he's got commitments for that. And by the way, if you don't watch it, go watch Extreme Catches every Sunday night, 8 p.m. on Animal Planet. Also, tune into the archives for The Rack. We did an interview with him when the show started a couple months ago, which is pretty awesome. But, yeah. EY is so goddamn entertaining. I wish they would push him more.
As I mentioned to you, we need to see an interaction between these two sets of tag team champions, the Knockout Tag Team Champions and the World Tag Team Champions of the World. Because that would be, you know, kind of awesome.
It would be. We're not going to. It would be.
It would just be kind of awesome. But anyway.
Anyway, we have Tara versus ODB in a fairly strong match.
These two had a good match. They really had a good match.
They did. My only criticism of it is that Taryn Terrell, Tiffany, whatever you want to call her. Mm-hmm. Seems almost in the way.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
She's getting better as a ref, but she still needs a lot of work.
She needs a little bit of work. They tried her making her in. They tried putting her more involved in this matchup, which was a little overkill. But they're learning. She's learning. It's a work in progress.
The point of the ref is to be there to count 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. To not necessarily be a part of the match, but you know, whatever works. It was between ODB and Terry. It was a good match.
It was. I was, you know, and it was for the number one contendership, we should say, for the Knockouts title, and Tara did win after she tweaked her knee a little bit and, you know, was unable to get up and, you know, hobbled back in, took off her knee brace, and she was in a lot of pain.
Until she rolled ODB up for the stinky pin and had her feet on the ropes, you know.
You know. And then she was jumping for joy and then realized, oh, my knee, help me to the back. My knee's hurt.
And then, of course, she mouths to the camera, I did it for you, baby, which is just aww.
So the question is, who is her boo?
I don't know.
People say it's Joey Ryan. Because he's from Hollywood.
Yeah, because he's such a big star. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, speaking of Joey Ryan, well, we cut to the back where we see Brute Pritchard and Al Snow talking about the Joey Ryan stuff. Pritchard reminds Snow that he's not a wrestler anymore, he's office, and that Ryan didn't earn a contract and is only there to disrupt the show and to get under Snow's skin, and that, well, he can't put his hands on him. Pritchard reminds him of the legal problems. Snow says he knows he made some mistake, but they're interrupted by Taz. They talk about Evan Markopoulos, and Taz is surprised by his performance. Snow says he has heart and desire. Pritchard loves that Markopoulos started at age 13. That shows passion and drive. Snow questions Markopoulos' ability to handle being a TNA wrestler. Pritchard ends the round table, and we're sent backstage.
Because we're going to see Gut Check later in the show.
Yes. But first we get Calfzilla and his fire-breathing Twitter machine.
How dare you interrupt the man when he's on his Twitter machine?
Seriously, don't you know the protocol for this kind of thing?
Come on, Jason Hervey. You should know by now. Don't interrupt the bully when he's on the Twitter. Just saying. Don't you ever do it.
Never do it. Never interrupt the bully when he's on Twitter.
Follow him at Real Bully Ray. 5150, I think it is.
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't know. Just look up Bully Ray on Twitter.
Yeah, you'll find it. But anyway, he talks about how he looked good with the title over his head and all the fans wanted him to be in the title match, that we were craving it. And yes, he's right. At least there are two fans here that are craving it, because God knows I don't want to see Aries versus Hardy. But basically he's got to focus on his tag team tonight, and they want to know who he's going to choose for his tag team partner. Bully Ray doesn't tell him, and they walk away. He walks away with the camera zooming in on his calves.
You gotta shoot the calves, man. You gotta shoot the calves. Calfzilla. Gotta shoot them right there. Close up. Focus. Focus. On the calves.
But speaking of focus, we should go back again to Hogan, Anderson, Joe, and Bischoff.
Yeah, he pondered with the three of them. Who's it going to be? And he pondered, can Garrett Bischoff actually hang with Anderson or Joe?
No.
Hogan put over Garrett, but it just wasn't his time. It just wasn't Garrett's time.
George, I have to applaud. Good call by Hogan.
Somebody's smart about that one. Just saying.
Just saying. So the match is set.
It'll be Joe and Anderson for the television championship in a little bit.
Yeah, but first, Bischoff is a little pissed because he didn't get it because the camera zoomed in on him. So we're probably going to get something with that. God, I hope not. But
but then we had still backstage. God, we're just like backstage. One room to another, to the other. This time we're with Bobby Roode and Austin Aries.
Yes, and he lets Aries know out of respect, there's that word again, that he's Bully Ray's tag team partner tonight. Root says that he has his eye on the Bound for Glory match between Hardy and Aries, like thousands of people around the world. He's rooting for Hardy because he can't get a title match until Aries drops the belt. Rude talks about his experience with Jeff Hardy. He's beaten Hardy. Aries hasn't. Rude calls him the better wrestler. Rude tries to get into Aries' ear by saying Jeff is stealing the spotlight of the younger guys. Rude sarcastically says Hardy and Aries will be a good tag team, and he leaves.
They're getting into Aries' head. That's the way it seems. People are getting into his head.
Which is just not even remotely good.
But we're going to talk more about Aries later in the program.
I don't want Aries to drop the belt to Jeff Hardy.
Anyway, up next, Samoa Joe takes on Mr. Anderson for the TNA Television Championship.
In what was actually a pretty decent match. It was very physical.
It was a physical match, what you expect with Samoa Joe. Joe ended up locking him up and making him tap out to the for the win to become the new TNA Television Champion.
To which I say, yay! They gave Joe a belt. It's about goddamn time. So now, CM Punk, Austin Aries, Claudio Castagnoli, Samoa Joe all have belts. There's something awesome about this.
By the way, if you're TNA, let him run with this belt for a while.
For forever.
Like, put... You want to make Samoa Joe a badass? Let him go every single week on television. Yes, every single week. Defend the belt like you said you were going to do, brother. And have him defend the belt every week. And be the true television champion. And have him set an RVD-like record with the belt. Which is 22 months, something days, and... Ask Bill Alfonso, he'll tell you the full amount. But it was a long time before RVD lost the belt. Because he got hurt.
Yeah, over a year.
It's almost 2 years.
Yeah. So, go Joe! Very happy about this.
Then we're backstage again.
I mean, this was all backstage, but basically it's Hogan and Sting. They're standing there talking, and, well, an unidentified female with pretty kind of cool hair walks up and says, Mr. Hogan, you need to sign these before the end of the show, to which he takes a clipboard away from her, starts to sign, and then, out of nowhere, a pepper spraying!
She sprays them. What? No! She's one of them! No!
They're then attacked by aces and eights, and they put hoods over Hogan and Sting's head, bind their hands, and throw them into a convenient van that just happened to be sitting right there.
Just happened to be right there. And I'm doing the hand motion for right there.
Yeah. And little bunny Foo Foo then takes a camera and says they'll take plenty of pictures for us, and then they cut to commercial.
So, you know, can't have them map quest their way to wherever they're going.
That was an awesome line.
Yes. But up next, it's time for Gut Check.
Yes.
The judging began with Evan Markopoulos. He was in the ring. Basically, it boiled down to Taz saying yes, Bruce Pritchard saying no, and then Markopoulos gave his kick-out speech.
Which was pretty good.
Basically, he was kissing up to Al Snow and talked about how Snow was trying to make it. But, you know, he mentioned that he's 18 and he's, you know, trying to make it. And he's impressive and stuff like that. Snow said Markopoulos is the can't pronounce the word, so I'm going to skip it. You know, he has the passion he needs for the business, but he's too young. So it's going to be a no.
And I have to agree with this one, but Snow should have added on there, and oh yeah, by the way, go to college.
That would have been smart.
just saying, kid, you're 18, and yeah, you've got a great future in the business. They were very complimentary of him. But go get a damn degree. I'm begging you, please.
Guys are going to need it, just saying.
You want to get to WWE level, at least, you're going to have that degree. They kind of require it. And it can't help. It can't hurt you in TNA.
It won't hurt. It won't hurt you for anything.
Yeah. I mean, even if you get an associate's, it won't hurt. Not that he can hear us, but just saying. Afterwards, Markopoulos leaves the ring, and then we got a promo for the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles show. To which I like in my recap, it says, Hulk Hogan and Sting may have just died, and we get Ninja Turtles hype.
Yep, pretty much.
To which I say, after watching it, yay turtles, boo bad animation. Boo bad computer animation. I'm sorry, it's the animation on it is kind of crap. Yes. It really is bad.
So now
that
we,
needs a few more hours finishing work. Just saying.
But now we're in the clubhouse.
And this is where I'm going to kind of go off.
All right, I'll recap it a little bit, and then you can then go off.
Okay, go.
Bane Sr., who apparently has some weird-looking ears that people like Alan Wojcik can tell who it is, because he looks at people's ears. Yeah, it's a fetish. I don't know. Might be.
It's the weirdest fetish ever.
He sat with his back to Hogan and Sting. He showed that, you know, Joseph Parks was tied up at a table because they wanted to know where Joe was. And he told Sting to bring, basically, boils down to Hogan to bring two guys to Bound for Glory to take on two of the Aces and Eights. Hogan says he and Sting would fight them, but no, that's not what they want. It's not about Hogan. It's not about Hogan for once. He said if they win, they get access to TNA. If Hogan's team wins, the Aces and Eights go away. Hold on. Hogan told them to let Park go now, but, you know, they're going to keep him because he's insurance. And he will be let go once the match is over. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, the segment itself was fairly well done. It was a little over the top. Just a little bit. But it was still fairly well done. It had a nice dark feel to it, which matched what was going on. But what Rock didn't mention is when they showed Joseph Park, he was strapped to a table and there were two Aces and Eights standing over him with a blowtorch. A fucking blowtorch that they were gonna light him up.
He didn't start the fire.
So, yeah, I don't know, and I know it's not WWE, I know it's not PG, but even for Attitude Era standards, this is very dark shit that they're doing with the Aces and Eights, which I kind of have to applaud it a little bit just because it makes them more badass and it definitely gives them that feel. It's like I told Rock at the beginning of the show when Hogan and Sting were like, yeah, we're going to go in there. We're going to go in there and kick some ass. Like, yeah, two senior citizens walking into a badass biker club. What could possibly go wrong with this?
They're going to die.
But, yeah, overall the segment was interesting, and sitting there trying to figure out who the leader is, because he was unmasked with the exception of the fact that his back was turned, you couldn't see him. So,
his name is Eric Bischoff.
Oh, God.
That's what Alan picks out with the ears.
He almost looked too tall to be Bischoff.
He also said Jeff Jarrett, but he's been saying Jeff Jarrett forever. But
it's not Jeff Jarrett.
He was stalking the ears and paying close attention to them.
Well, I stalk people's hair, so, you know, I can't say.
Yeah, I know, but ears is a weird kind of fetish. I'm just saying. #AlanLikesEars. Trending worldwide. So.
I wonder what he thinks of Takers.
Anyway.
But anyway, yeah, so overall the segment was pretty well done, but I want to know who on that writing staff has such an affinity for these types of segments, where they're very dark, they're very sinister, weapons are involved, and we're not talking about the normal kind of weapons, we're talking about the kind that can kill people.
Yeah, this is true. Now, they got really dark on the show. I know Ares, and they showed Ares and Hardy go to the ring as when they went to commercial. But they do the backstage pass, right?
Right.
Just here's a little bit of a mood changer from the backstage pass on ImpactWrestling.com.
I'm a long way from home. I don't feel all alone. Tell me when you'll be coming home. I actually forget the rest of the words because I don't even like that song, and now I'm going to leave.
That happened right after that promo.
That's awesome. Go, Eric Young.
It's like, this is a different type of mood changer. Okay.
Interesting, but when we come back, it's all serious. Taz and Tanae are using their serious, quiet voices, recapping what happened between the Aces and Eights and Hogan and Sting. They cut off a little bit early, but basically they say that they're going to follow the story and keep up on it. We then get a rundown for Bound for Glory. Then again, we're backstage. Which, my heart skipped a beat because, well, it was time for the Cowboy.
The Cowboy spoke, and he was pleased with Hogan's announcement and how he's happy with King Mo, you know, with us being the choice because he was the guy raising his hand at Bound for Glory. And, you know, he apologized for Rerude's condemned luck.
Yes. I see hashtag Alan's ears has made it to Twitter. Go, Kane Kittens, go. Yeah. That's kind of awesome.
Bravo.
And the show comes to a grinding halt as I have to retweet that.
Okay, that would have... Okay, King Kittens, that would have been better if you put Alan in the thing.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, just... Anyway, retweet. Anyway, moving along to our main event.
It's Bully Ray and Bobby Roode versus Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries.
I gotta be honest, I didn't see a lot of this match. I was busy doing some stuff.
I didn't see a lot of the match. I wasn't really paying attention to it that much. It was just... Yeah, it was okay. It was just kind of eh.
So the finish. Finish was okay. They were planting the seeds for, you know, whatever they're gonna do with Austin Aries. He refused to tag in Jeff Hardy at the end. Hardy eventually tugged himself in when Roode was down and hit the Swanton for the victory. Here's my complaint about it. Bobby Roode should have never lost that match.
No.
Just saying.
He shouldn't have, but he did. You have Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries picking up the win over Bobby Roode and Bully Ray. Hardy got the pin over Roode, I believe.
Yes.
And basically, Aries returns to the ring. He was upset. Taz says that Hardy got the glory spot. Aries screams at Hardy and points at his own chest and... They say that Bound for Glory is going to be epic.
Epic!
Right. But, we're not over. Nope. There's still one more thing with Aces and Eights. Sting and Hogan are returned to the Impact Zone. And they untie Sting. And Sting tries to attack the Aces and Eights. But, well, Bunny Foo Foo pulls a knife. on Sting. It was a small knife, but it was a knife.
Not a knife.
And they remind him that they have Joseph Parks, and if they do anything stupid, they will burn him with the blowtorch.
Burn him to hell.
And, but Sting says he's coming and he's bringing someone with him.
Wonder who it's going to be, brother.
Even though this is totally not about him, it's completely totally about him.
It's going to bring Mr. America!
God. But, yeah, it's... And that concludes the show for the evening. I mean, overall thought it was a good impact. It's better than it has been in recent weeks. It made more sense. They're starting to build now.
They're building towards a pay-per-view, but it doesn't feel like the biggest show of the year.
Yeah, it just, it kind of... Some of the matches are getting good as far as how they feel. I just can't get into Aries and Hardy. I just really can't. I'm trying. I hate Jeff Hardy. I really do. Every time they say Creatures of the Night, I want to throw things. Because it's not his. Gimmick infringement, damn it. Gimmick infringement.
Gimmick infringement.
Somebody go get the midget lawyer.
Get him on the phone.
Get him on the phone right now, because Joseph Parks is strapped to a table with a blowtorch pointed at his head.
Yes.
But, yeah, so, I mean, overall, it was good. It was better than it has been, like I said. But, yeah, I want to know who's writing the Aces and Eights segments, because I want to know who's just has this affinity for this dark, twisted, almost horror movie-type feel to it. There you go, Cane Kittens. That's better. And once again, I have to retweet that, so...
So anyway,
that gets an honorable mention for Tweet of the Week.
We'll put it on the air when we come back.
But yeah, so on that note, we're going to kick it to break because Rock is making me. So when we come back, we will be talking all about our Tweets of the Week, as well as our SmackDown look ahead and some discussion topics. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com, and we will be right back.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone? Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say. Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com, just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
It started as a ride on the short bus.
Today on, well, yeah, right now on a subject of matter is, as McConnell liked to say, bitches. Bitches.
And it's turned into the worldwide phenomenon known as your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night.
If I can find out how to record shit on my phone while I'm in the middle of plowing, I'll just say, yay, listen to CB Radio.
On October 20th, the biggest milestone since the night Big Daddy Ace threw up on the air is reached.
You know, it sucks. I want to throw up, but I don't think I can.
Keep in mind, well, this is all for you.
It's the 250th episode of CB Radio.
Let's look out. Do I see my shadow?
Oh, look! It's more billion years of awesome radio!
Join us for all the weird.
The plan is that now you're getting dragged into it. You and Rob are going to come up to my place in North Carolina, and we're going to have one big drunken episode.
Whoa, we don't swing that way, dude.
Not like that.
No spooning involved.
We're all wearing shoes, jackass.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Wacky.
So, shouldn't midget porn be half off?
You know, actually, they say it's double.
Yeah, that's an exotic right there.
I'd have to argue with that, though. I'm like, well, he's only half a woman, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you can fit more midgets on a screen than you can full-grown people.
And the unusual.
And apparently nudity is allowed if you're a female. So we don't want any male genitalia.
But it took me a long time to actually paint your face. That part of the cost is the role play.
Oh, right.
Batman and the Joker, I still can't get the green paint out of my snatch.
For the 250th episode of CB Radio, Saturday night, October 20th, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas with Big Daddy Ace, Sir Rockin', Subway was on, Rob Puck was on, DP was on for a little bit, William McConnell was here for a short while, then he decided to fucking... You know what? Me and Rob Puck, we're all hammered. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. Peace out, bitch asses.
You think you know me?
This Sunday, WrestleTalk Radio gets rated R. On this day, WWE Hall of Famer Edge joins the show to talk a wide range of subjects, including his Hall of Fame induction, hugging Kane, and so much more. Tune in this Sunday to hear from the Rated R Superstar on WrestleTalk Radio, live 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said, chill.
Well,
welcome back to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by pwmania.com. If you're just joining us, we were going over the TNA Impact, as well as a little news and notes of the week, and we handed out our question of the night, which is, what is growing in Damian Sandow's beard? But I think now it's time for a little tweet of the week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All right, Rock, do you want to go first?
Sure. CM Punk on Twitter. He was tweeting about how the house shows this weekend were exceptional. He mentioned a bunch of people who worked hard, mentioned that Heath Slater was there. Also, at WWE, AJ Lee was there pouring coffee on herself and chasing an invisible dog. Hashtag crazy chicks.
I saw that. That was awesome.
And he tweeted about an hour, almost an hour ago. Don't call to come back. He's been here for years. At Samoa Joe.
Well done. Well played. So, mine is from the, as always, the originator of this segment, the Iron Sheik.
Sheiky baby.
Sheiky baby! The Iron Sheik says, dumb honey boo boo wort, she worse than the King Kong Bundy ass. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a god-awful show on TLC that I wish would die a burny, fiery, horrible, awful death. Just saying. I actually had a really awesome one, and I can't remember who tweeted it.
Here's one from Antonio Cesaro. Something to think about when you spell check before at tweeting me. No word in the English language has an actual number in it. 1, 2, 3, etc.
Wow. Oh, here we go. Here's a good one from Samoa Joe. Who trained these replacement NFL refs? At Earl Hepner?
CM Punk replied to that one. He said, fat pants. So, King Kitten said something on Twitter, too, you wanted to mention?
Yes, King Kitten, you get an honorable mention for Tweet of the Week, just because you did it, and it's awesome. He said, at WTR the underscore rack, which is, by the way, the official Twitter of the show that I really don't tout anymore because I never check it. But follow
just
it.
Follow it or just use the hashtag the rack.
Use the hashtag the rack. Use the name and use my name with it, and that will let me know to go check the goddamn Twitter. which is at Lins Ward, LINSWARD, by the way. Or you can tweet at Wild Talk Radio, and then he will tell me to go check the goddamn Twitter.
Because apparently I, you know, when something happens, I tell her, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm well, her secretary, just, so apparently now.
Well, I'm Omega's secretary, so...
God damn it.
Anyway. Him and his throne. Totally working on getting him a crown. Anyway, at WTR, the underscore rap, tonight has been brought to you by the letters... Hashtag Alan likes ears. Alan makes things at my name is Wojcik. So well played. And then the one before that is according to at Wild Talk Radio, hashtag Alan likes ears. And it will be trending worldwide on Twitter.
Twitter.
So that's the one that didn't get mentioned to Alan Wojcik, so.
But it got mentioned live right here on the rack.
Yes. And if you have a tweet of the week, stick it in the chat room. We will talk about it. We will mention it, and we will cheer for it. So yes, if you're a fan, come over to wildtalkradio.com, come into our chat room, find a funny tweet on Twitter, and we will read it on the air. Just make sure to give us your name, please. Any kind of name, can even be the generic chat room name, just so we know who you are.
Yes, yes.
You can also tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, at Lens Ward. Please don't send it to at WTR the underscore rack, because I won't see it. At least I'm honest about it.
Just get rid of that account. Just use the hashtag the rack.
I meant to. I haven't had time. Or the can't be bothered to.
just remembered I actually had the account. Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving along, he says.
Yes, move it along, enough. Anyway, well, we're going to talk a little bit about SmackDown.
Let's talk a little bit about Friday Night SmackDown.
And we're not going to give out spoilers, so if you think we are, you're in the wrong place, we don't do that, we're just going to preview the show. But yeah, so it looks like, well, we're going to get an appearance from Big Show.
Big Show is back, and he's going to face Randy Orton in the main event.
Yeah, and, well, he's not happy about that. No. And, well, neither are... And it seems that Ricardo and Alberto Del Rio aren't happy about the fact that, well, Big Show may get the next title shot.
Of course. The part, you know, Del Rio wants his title shot. He's the only one who can fight for the title. He's SmackDown's John Cena!
Yes, because, you know, we're going to have Del Rio versus Sheamus, Part 7. Again.
Coming to pay-per-view.
It's coming to pay-per-view. Yay! Also, looks like we're going to get yet another rematch between Antonio's, the newly single, I should say, Antonio Cesaro and Santino Marella.
Yes, we're going to get a United States title match between the two of them after Santino beat him last week on SmackDown.
Yes. And then we're also getting a first ever in 10 years, a match that we've actually been salivating for, we've been wishing for, we've been praying for. We're finally getting it.
First time in history.
Huh?
First time in history,
according to Beth Phoenix. She's facing Natalya one-on-one. First time it's ever happened in 10 years. So looking forward to that, actually, because that, if they let them go, that'll be good.
I don't have faith. I don't have faith. But it's in Boston. Buffalo. It's in Buffalo, where Beth Phoenix is from. So she got her wish and got a match with Natalya.
Which, you know, even if they don't really let them go, it'll still be good.
Yes, it still would be good. Apparently there'll be Miz TV on the program as well.
There will, and it looks like we're going to get some Wade.
Yes, he's going to be in action against the woo-woo-woo kid, Zack Ryder.
And it looks like we're also going to get something else, something new, something special, something we haven't seen in a long time.
And what's that, Lindsay?
We're going to get a tag team tournament to determine the number one contenders for the tag team titles.
So that these two tag teams are going to fight and that's going to be it?
No. No, it's more than two.
Okay, we're going to have four teams fight for the number one contendership, right?
Nope, more than four.
Two. No, that can't. No. I'm doing the finger math. One, two, three, four, five, six. We're going to have eight?
We're going to have eight tag teams.
Oh,
they actually have a division.
Oh, I don't believe you. You're full of shit. They don't have eight tag teams. They don't have eight tag teams. Lindsay, are you smoking Subway's weed? Come on now. They don't have eight tag teams.
No, he didn't share with me.
He doesn't share. But he
bastard.
Has eight tag teams. No, there's... You have what? Kofi Kingston and R-Truth. Right?
Right.
The Primetime Players, that's two.
The Usos.
That's three.
Rhodes Scholars.
That's four.
You have Gabriel and Kid.
That's five.
I'm trying to remember the other.
You have Primo and Epico. That's six. We can't even name the eight tag teams.
This is sad. We're sitting here looking at the results. Actually, the results don't have
the results don't have it. But think about it. We can't name the eight tag teams in the company. We got six. That's good. That's good enough. Six.
And this isn't counting Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Right, because they're not a part of the tournament.
Hold on, let me pull. Hold on, stand by. I can give you the initial brackets. I can tell you exactly who fights whom. Maybe.
Maybe. That means I should start to look it up.
Okay. So the teams in the tag team tournament are as follows. Zack Ryder and Santino.
Okay.
Primetime Players. Kofi Kingston and R-Truth. Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd. Primo and Epico. And of course, Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara.
There we go.
So they will all be facing each other in the tag team tournament, which I believe is not tonight.
It starts on SmackDown, I believe.
Yeah. They don't have it listed. The spoilers are weird. But anyway, there's going to be a tag team tournament to determine the new number one contender for the tag team titles, and whichever one of the tag team champions decides they are the tag team champions for that day, and they will defend them.
At most likely Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. It depends on if Kane is Kane or Gerald that day, or... G-Reed? Yes, I have to send you this. Hold on, stand by. The show is going to... All I did is preview the rest of SmackDown.
We had Ryback take on Tensai. Ooh, scary matchup. And we had, as we mentioned before, Big Show and Randy Orton in the main event. You'll learn who the new number one contender is coming out of it and sets up the matchup at Hell in a Cell. So, all in all, it will not be Anger Buddies, but it will be an edition of Friday Night SmackDown.
Which makes me sad. Because I want more Anger Buddies. Just saying. But anyway, hopefully we will get more Anger Buddies on Raw, and maybe we'll get some kind of package for them or something. But yes, we're actually getting a tag team tournament, which is just awesome. And as you can tell, I really don't care about Ryback versus Tensai. Side note, CM Punk looking all terrified of Ryback. Really should have been somebody else, like, oh, I don't know, Triple H, The Undertaker. That would have made sense since they had Mick Foley there and they were talking about Hell in a Cell, but whatever.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, but let's see. So what do we want to talk about next?
Up to you. It's your show, Lindsay Ward, here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Okay. Well, since we brought him up, let's talk about the Anger Buddies.
Okay, let's talk about them. What do you want to talk about?
Well, where do we see this going? I mean, obviously, we've seen them go, we've seen them fight each other. They fought each other all summer over AJ. We saw them reunite, or we saw them unite as in Anger Management. They finally understood each other. Then, well, they had a little bit of a breakdown. They hugged it out. And now they're the tag team champions after Dr. Shelby's radical experiment. So, but they seem to have still a lot of issues. So where do we see this going?
That's a good question. Like all WWE feuds and tag teams, it's eventually going to lead to a singles matchup between the two partners because they won't be able to get along enough to meet in a one-on-one match.
Which I will have to say, when these two finally split, I hope to God it's something epic.
But we've seen their matches, and they've been all right. Not the greatest matches, but they've been all right. I don't know where they're going with this. They have a lot of... There's a lot of possibilities for where they go. They can continue on the road where they're at, where they still don't get along. Or they can eventually actually start to get along and have a common goal and a focus. And I think that's what we might have started seeing on Monday when they were attacked. They've been beating up each other for the longest time, but now someone's actually going after them.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have these moments of cohesion. It's like last week on SmackDown, the way that they closed the show was Kane and Daniel Bryan beating the living hell out of the entire tag team division with chairs. Including right. Damian Sandow, which, bless his little heart, that's all I can say.
Right.
But, I mean, it's... To me, they can only really do they don't get along, and they win matches by not getting along for so long. I have to agree with you that either they eventually start to get along, or they split apart.
And I want to see them actually get along. I want to see this... I want to see a purpose for this Anger Management. It needs to lead to where they actually get along and work out their problems, where they can actually start to get along and be an actual tag team that will eventually break up and whatever, but have that be down the line. Let them actually work together. They'll still have their arguments, they'll have to hug and whatever, but at the same time, they need to work together.
I will say that one thing I do like going on is that kind of sort of almost sibling rivalry that they're starting to do with the two of them.
Right.
Where it's like older brother, younger brother, you know, where it's like what they did on Monday or what they did on Friday, where it was almost a sibling rivalry. They're picking on each other. It's not so much that they hate each other and they don't get along, but they pick on each other. They tease each other. I liked that aspect of it because it really works for them. Because it's like, yes, they can get along. Mm-hmm. They can work together towards that common goal. But they just, there's that almost love through hate kind of thing.
It's a love-hate relationship, basically.
Yeah, it's like they can do it only for so long and that's as far as they can go with it. And they're still going to tease each other and pick on each other. I also like the fact that if you say goat face, Daniel Bryan pops out of random boxes.
Now, this doesn't work for all boxes.
I know, I tried it. It didn't work. I was very sad.
There's only certain boxes that work if you say goat face and he'll appear.
Well, apparently it's Kane has to say it. It's not...
Yes.
So I need to get a recording of Kane saying goat face and point my computer at a box and see if it happens.
And then maybe you may get lucky to see him pop out of a box magically. But yeah, they gotta work together. It would mean this whole process is working. It would mean that they're doing something right. And like you said, they're picking on each other. That's all they're doing now. They're not feuding over AJ. That's gone.
Now, here's my question. With her, they still seem to use her mental instability issues when it seems prevalent. And they still kind of have her doing the crazy chick gimmick a little bit. I mean, she kind of has almost a split personality where she's fine one minute and she's a bitch. She kind of goes into Stephanie mode and then she's crazy AJ again.
Right.
And we've seen a loss of the corporate business suit. She's back in the shorts and the Converse, and then she's wearing more business casual on top. So she's really kind of emphasizing that split in her personality. My question is this, do they inject AJ back into this situation at some point? Because obviously Dr. Shelby can't stay around forever. Eventually what's going to happen if they go the route of Daniel Bryan and Kane finally do manage to work through all this, Dr. Shelby's going to go away.
Shelby's going to go away, and then they'll have to be a foil to their cohesion. And AJ could be brought back into it. It's something I wouldn't see right away. I would save the interaction because there's such great chemistry there. I would save it for a little bit. Let them actually have a focus. Let them get into the tag division and let her get into her own thing. I guess, let her be the general manager and other stuff. But I could see her being worked back into the program as sort of the... Maybe someone when they're about to split them up, she could be the cause.
Well, one thing I liked was it was at the last pay-per-view, it was at Night of Champions, when they won the belts and they're backstage.
Right.
And they all three meet up. It's the Disneyland promo, but you have AJ in the mix, and you have Brian and AJ and Shelby and Kane all standing there together, and they're cutting this promo. And she's, like, burst a blood vessel crazy. And they're just going off on each other, and Shelby's trying to keep the peace. And for whatever reason, I really liked that dynamic.
Oh, it's a great dynamic. I'm not denying that. I just want to see them spin off in their own direction for a little bit.
Oh, I know. I agree. And I like what they're doing. I just don't want them to do this, and then the gimmick sort of tapers off. And then all of a sudden, it's, oh my god, split.
Right.
Like, I actually want to see them do a full arc with these two and complete it.
I'm with you. And as I mentioned to you last night, think about this story. One of the storylines we're all talking about, the Kane-Daniel Bryan storyline, it's the most PG storyline they have. It's over it's about hugging.
Yes, it's about controlling your emotions and hugging it out as opposed to fighting it out.
And there's nobody complaining that it's too PG.
Well, there are people complaining that it's stupid, but...
But they're not complaining that it's stupid because it's PG?
Exactly. They're complaining it's stupid for other reasons, but...
Those fangirls need to shut the fuck up.
Just saying. But, And they have their right to not like it too, but... I guess the reason is stupid. But anyway, moving on. we're not going to go there.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd like to see them do... I almost want to see them start to move it along a little bit. And I think Monday helped with that.
Yes, Monday helped. Gave them a nice direction with a feud with Rhodes Scholars. But, by the way, did you see Damian Sandow's new t-shirt?
No.
He was wearing it Monday, and it's awesome. Here's the link to it. It's kind of awesome. I'll put it in the chat room for everyone to see as well. It's on WWEShop.com. They're not a sponsor. But if you would like to, if they would like to sponsor us, email us at media@wildtalkradio.com.
Oh my holy god. And I get paid tomorrow. That's mine.
Add to cart.
Yeah, add to cart and have to hold off on buying until about 1 o'clock this morning when my paycheck hits the account. Anyway,
the birth of intellectualism.
And he's holding the mic like the brandy glass. That's amazing.
You're welcome.
Well done. Whoever designed this, well done.
Great shirt. If you want it, it's available at WWEShop.com.
They actually should have made it the same color as the rope. Just same, but blue works.
It's close enough. Yeah. It's close enough.
It's close enough. But yeah, it's... I don't want them to drop the ball with this, because it's one of the better storylines they have going on, and they've really breathed new life into this duo.
They have.
Because it was, oh god, they're going to continue on with Daniel Bryan and Kane. Why are they going to continue on with Daniel Bryan and Kane without AJ and CM Punk? And now we see why. And it's fantastic. And what the fuck do you mean Julio Jones is hurt? Don't be telling me that! Fucking hell. Anyway.
I don't know where you want to go with that.
Well, since I brought up the NFL, because I'm sitting here watching the NFL Network.
There you go.
Let's talk a little bit about, well, the ref situation.
They are back in the saddle again.
As we mentioned tonight, and if you watch the Baltimore Browns game tonight, we see that the NFL refs are back.
They're back.
And the replacement refs are gone.
They're gone. They're out of here. And thank God.
And thank God. The ball will now be spotted properly, and it won't take them 20 minutes to do this.
Apparently, the fans greeted the NFL officials tonight with a standing ovation.
Well, I'm sure that made them feel better.
Probably. So, yeah, that's a good thing. It's about time. It's like, okay, we get it. You guys have this problem with money and shit. But it boiled down to, what, $400,000 per team along those lines? It was going to cost them at some point.
It was a drop in the bucket. It was, I mean, basically every high-paid NFL player could have chipped in and covered the cost easily and not even broken a sweat.
Right. That's basically what it was. It could have been taken care of a long time ago, but, they made it drag it out and stuff. I don't know. I'm trying to look for the... There was something with the benefits. Retirement benefits was one of the big things for the new hires and for officials beginning in 2017 through a defined contribution agreement. The salaries will go up from $149,000 a year in 2011 to $173,000 in 2013. I don't know why in the deal they're talking about 2011, but okay. $205,000 in 2019,
I guess, because that's when the next deal is getting ready to expire. I'm not entirely sure. Because it's like an 8-year deal. And no, they didn't get the pensions.
They didn't get the pensions, but...
They got matching for 401k after a certain amount of time.
Yeah, and it was a start, and it's a deal that they worked. There would be a partial match on any contribution that officials make to their 401k account. An annual league contribution will be made on behalf of each game official that began it. With an average of more than $18,000 per official and increased to more than $23,000 per official in 2009, and there will be a partial match on any additional contribution that an official makes to his 401k account.
But yeah, so I mean, they didn't get the pension, but that's still a nice chunk of change.
Yeah, the NFL can now control things with the referees. They can hire different people year-round. And
they can train backups. They can... They have a lot more control, which is good. So if something happens to the referees again, we won't hit this debacle of popcorn referees, because, oh my God, we don't need that again.
No, no,
but
we don't. We really don't. It's just going to make the game a lot better. Yes, we're all, I know, we're all going to worry. We're all going to bag on these referees, too, like we normally do. That's fine. The games will actually be games again. You won't be going, oh my God. First, and it's a 15-yard penalty for 27 yards.
Yeah, it's... I guess the issue with the replacement refs, too, is also... They didn't have really any control of the games. And we saw that quite apparent, where you saw players going after... I mean, I have saw more fights in that 3 weeks than I have ever seen watching football.
Yeah, you would get the... There would be fights, but, you know, the referees would get control of it, and these guys just couldn't get control of it at all.
Yeah, it just... It was kind of terrifying, actually, how many fights were going on, and, you know, the players were expressing a concern for their safety and rights, fully so, because some of the hits that were being received, it's like, I'm all for, you know, let them play and let them hit, but some of them were pretty vicious. And there were some teams that were taking advantage of the situation more so than others.
True. But it's okay. They're back. They're back. Thank God. They're fucking back.
They're back. Yay! Woo-hoo. Now they just have to ratify the deal and put it through, which...
should take place over the weekend, and everyone will be back to work on Sunday, and we'll get real referees.
Yay! Now here's the question.
Yes.
What do you think moved this forward? Do you think it was Monday night situation where with the blown call and now the outcry from the fans and the players? I mean, what do you think motivated the NFL and the owners to get up off their ass and settle with the refs?
According to them, they've been talking they were talking all weekend, and they had the Tuesday meeting was already scheduled, and Monday kind of triggered, like, okay, we gotta get this over and done with, because apparently they had 70,000 people send in voicemails to the NFL office.
From what I heard, yeah, there were calls made to the NFL office. Supposedly, Clay Matthews of the Green Bay Packers gave out Roger Goodell's phone number on Facebook. I can't confirm this because I never was able to find it, but supposedly he did that.
We cannot confirm nor deny.
But it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I know it was trending for at least 24 hours. On Twitter, it's been obviously a hot topic of conversation, so I have to wonder if Monday night didn't help move things along just a little bit.
Oh, it did. You know it did. It had to. It really had to. It's just one of those things. It had to move it along. Because everyone got sick and tired of being sick and tired of these referees.
Yeah, but thankfully we don't have to worry about them anymore because, well, they're gone.
They're gone. They can go back to Foot Locker. But apparently Foot Locker made a statement on that they don't work for us. They made it clear. They don't work for us. They had to make this clear.
Not it.
They're not ours. So just, you know, they're
just
not
saying.
Ours. So what else do you want to talk about tonight, Lindsay?
Well, speaking of not spotting the ball correctly and dropping the ball.
Nice tie-in, Lindsay.
Thank you. I thought so.
She's learning.
Let's talk a little bit about Austin Aries.
Yeah, the question I pose is, I want people in the chat room to respond to this. Has TNA dropped the ball with Austin Aries' title right now? My answer is yes. They have completely dropped the ball with his title reign. They built him up to be the challenger for the title. And when he won the title, it was like, okay, now what? They gave us the rematch, and even then, that wasn't really the focus of the, it wasn't really the focus of the company. He then beat Bobby Roode, great. They said to continue this Bound for Glory tournament, and it's like, what's Austin Aries doing? Oh, he's fighting with the Aces and Eights. Kind of, and he's in the background. He's not a... The world champion should be the focus of your television program, and even now on the road to Bound for Glory, he's not even the focus of the TV. There's a little more emphasis on him tonight, but still, they've completely dropped the ball with his title reign. It doesn't feel important. The title reign... Bobby Roode was built up as the heel that you wanted someone to beat. The goal when you beat the guy is the guy who beats him should be made a big deal. Yes, they elevated Austin Aries, but then they haven't done anything with him. That's why everyone wanted James Storm to win the title off of Bobby Roode, because people would believe they would have a idea for James Storm to be the focus. But there is no focus right now with Austin Aries. He's in this kind of mixed feud with Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray and stuff. It's not the greatest thing. They're kind of turning him, and you know, he's being overlooked and stuff like that. It's just his title reign hasn't felt important, at least to me.
I have to agree. It felt important in the beginning, and then they kind of kicked up the whole Aces and Eights storyline, and with Bound for Glory, the Bound for Glory series starting, he kind of faded into the background a little bit, but you still had him and Bobby Roode involved and going off on each other, and they were setting up Roode versus Storm, and they did the match at... Oh, fuck, what was that pay-per-view?
Who are you talking about?
Not No Surrender, the one before No Surrender. The one where Roode and Aries fought for the second time.
The second time?
Remember, it's... Aries won the belt off of Roode. Roode said it was a fluke.
That was Destination X.
That was Destination X, and then they fought again.
Was that No Surrender, or was that Turning Point, or...
Might have been Turning Point.
No, Hardcore Justice.
It's Hardcore Justice?
That was August.
Because I know it wasn't this last pay-per-view.
Hardcore Justice. It was August. Yeah, it's like, okay, what's the paper? The paper's, yeah, August.
Yeah.
Hardcore Justice.
It's like, I can't keep them straight. Crap.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you have... Then you have Roode versus Aries face, kind of in the grudge match, where it's Aries is now out to prove himself. He's there to prove himself as the credible champion, which was a great build-up for that match. And then they didn't... You know, Aries wins, he retains the title, Bobby Roode can't get another rematch while Aries is champion. So Bobby Roode goes off, and then they just leave Austin Aries kind of hanging.
Right.
And I think what they forgot, or how they planned it, I'm not entirely sure, but it's like, it almost feels like they forgot about the month in between Hardcore Justice and Bound for Glory. They forgot No Surrender was in there.
Yeah, they kind of did. And that's usually what the case is. It's kind of, because the focus, last year was the focus was the Bound for Glory series, like it was this year at the pay-per-view, so it's like, what do we do with our champion? This year we had him fight a random member of Aces and Eights, Steve from Wyoming. Still the awesome name for the guy. But, it's like, what do we do? I don't know. It's... I don't know, I don't get the feel for it. It's just, something's missing with his title reign. He's not being seen as a world champion. He's got the belt, great. It's like what CM Punk was before. It's like, okay, is he the world champion? No, I guess, but he's not. I don't know, he just doesn't seem like the world champion. He's not the guy who comes out to start the show. He's not the guy, you know, who gets 5 segments a show. He's not the focus of the program. The world champion should be the focus.
I agree with you. I almost would have liked to have seen Aries more involved in the Aces and Eights storyline. And you almost have Austin Aries fighting the Aces and Eights, and you have the roster handling the Aces and Eights rather than Hulk Hogan and Sting, where you have the roster kind of sort of coming together, and they're all facing this with Aries leading the charge, going, this is our company, we're not going to let them do this,
right?
And they stand up to them, kind of deal, and you don't have Hogan and Sting get involved until much later, if at all, because they're the authority figures. They shouldn't be the ones dealing with this. I mean, the Aces and Eights were attacking the roster. They did attack Hogan and Sting and Brooke Hogan, but they also attacked more so the roster.
Which has kind of been pushed to the side now. It's more, okay, it's Hogan and Sting's fight, and we're going to see who they bring in to, you know, fight these guys, and it'll be probably Sting and somebody.
Yeah, so it's... I would have liked to see, as far as them involving Aries, if you have a month in between Bound for Glory, you have it where you have them more focusing during the Bound for Glory series after Bobby Roode, because you have time, you have Aries more lead this charge against the Aces and Eights, and then Bound for Glory resolves, right? Jeff Hardy wins. And then there's that tension where it's, well, he's trying to, you know, Aries is trying to lead this charge, and he's failing.
Did he cost himself the title because he got himself involved?
Right.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it's... I can't quite voice it, but... just do something more with him than kind of leaving him in limbo like they have.
Right, he should have gotten heavily involved. He got a little bit involved, but he should have got heavily involved with them. He should have been there with Sting and Hogan right by their side the entire time as the guy, you know, guy leading the charge. And, you know, then the secondary storyline would have been Jeff Hardy. He would have to deal with, he's dealing with the Aces Eights, and he's dealing with Jeff Hardy now. So that's two things on his mind going into the pay-per-view, and, he, you know, it could cost him the title at the end, where he's conflicted with, you know, he's been doing all this, and he's not totally focused on Jeff Hardy. And then you have a built-in reason why Austin Aries gets rematches, because, you know, he was doing what, trying to help the company, but now that he's about the spotlight and stuff.
Yeah, it's, he's the he was trying to be the company man, and he cost himself the title by being the company man.
Right, basically, that's basically what, yeah.
So, it's yeah, it's just, it's, I don't know, I'll agree, they have dropped the ball with Aries.
That's what it boils down to, that basically they did drop the ball with them. It's like, you don't want to think it, you hope it was not true, but when you think about what's happened, they've kind of dropped the ball.
I mean, it's, Aries winning that title off of Roode was one of the biggest things to happen in that company in a long time. And it was a positive big thing.
Right.
It wasn't a negative. It's, that was one of the most talked about things that happened the next day, was Austin Aries won the TNA World Heavyweight title. You know, something you would never think would happen finally happened. And so now you have Aries as your champion. You can do the rematch with Bobby Roode. That's standard quo. Now what do you do with him? And I don't think they really ever had a plan beyond Bobby Roode.
Because I don't think Austin Aries was the plan.
The problem is I think they're trying to hotshot book him.
They went in a different direction, and they're sticking with the direction they were going with Bobby Roode and James Storm. They just got the bell out of the way. They changed direction, because they saw the popularity of Austin Aries rise, and they wanted to take advantage of it. And rightfully so, it's smart. I don't know. Should have done more with it. If you're going to make the change, make it and have a reason. And once he got done with Bobby Roode, he should have had something to really do, and he hasn't had anything to do yet. And now Jeff Hardy, they're kind of doing something, but it's not. It's not like, I can't get invested in it. We got invested in Bobby Roode and Austin Aries. And I'm not getting invested into Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy, because I'm not a fat girl from Florida.
Well, I mean, even still, it's... I would have been okay with Bully Ray. just because it's, I mean, I don't mind, it's not, it's an ex-WWE person. Let me get this out of the way first.
No, 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 hold on. It's a heel.
It's a heel. The fact of the matter is it's face versus face, and they're starting to turn Aries, but they shouldn't have to do that. You know, it's either, you could have easily done Bully Ray. If you didn't want to go with James Storm, fine. This isn't about Storm not winning either. It's, you could have gone with Storm, you could have gone with, you know, but you could have gone with Bully as well. And I honestly think if you're not going to go with Storm, you could have gone with Joe or you could have gone with Bully. You could have put either of them through and it would have totally worked.
You need a, you need a good talker on the microphone to build the heat for the storyline.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Jeff Hardy's gimmick does nothing for me. I really actually kind of hate it. Because I think it's stupid. I really do. I sit there and I look at him and he paints his face and he walks out and he comes out to this very hypnotic monotone music. And it's, and he walks around the ring like I don't even know, like he's fucking stoned. You know, cause he walks down the ring with his eyes closed and I'm scared to death he's gonna walk into something and impale himself.
Because he is.
But I mean, it's Hardy. When it was the Hardy Boys, they were much more dynamic. Hardy by himself, just Hardy being himself, does nothing for me.
Right.
Because he doesn't really do anything. He's just, he's kind of like Chavo Guerrero. He's there. He's a lump of space.
He's just the thing. He's a creature.
And it just does nothing for me, you know, it's like I look at Hardy versus Aries and then I look at, you know, like Joe versus Aries. Sure, they've had it, but Joe in a title match, Joe in a world heavyweight title match.
Because Joe could have, you know, the match itself sells itself, but mic work wise, Joe could sell the match. There's no one selling the heat. There's no heat between these two. Like, that's why you're having Bobby Roode and Bully Ray get involved. It's like, because Jeff Hardy can't sell the match. You need someone to sell the match. And that's what's missing with this title feud going into Bound for Glory. There's no one there to sell the match. Austin Aries can say it all he wants, but it won't get the job done.
Yeah, it's, you have Aries doing his damnedest to try to sell this match, where he's saying, you know, I'm gonna want your spotlight, you're stealing it from me, you're hogging it from me, and you know what? That would be great if Hardy was a heel. Here's the problem. Hardy isn't a heel, and Hardy isn't responding. He's doing his whole hypnotic thing.
Look at me, I'm Jeff Hardy! Yeah!
Yeah, so it's like, it would be, you know, you could even, that's why I'm saying, if you stuck Bully in Jeff's spot,
It would work perfect.
It would be fucking perfect. Because Bully's got the resume that Hardy does, if not better.
And he has the mic skills to back it up.
Yes. Or you have Bully, you know, it's, I want your spotlight. I want this. I want that. And Bully's like, well, you want it? Come take it. Come earn it.
I agree. That's just personal preference. We don't want to see Jeff Hardy in the main event.
Yeah, and that's true. It is personal. It's all personal preference. You know, it's,
there are the people who were thrilled to see Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries fight. And hell, it might turn out to be a great match.
I'm sure the match will be fine. It's not that I don't think the match will suck. It's just there's no incentive to watch it.
You're not invested into it.
Yeah, it's not even, it's going to be a great wrestling match. It's, I have no reason to care.
Right. But hopefully in the next 3 weeks leading up to Bound for Glory, they'll get us to care.
Hopefully, but I mean, as far as the other matches go that they're starting to build, like we said in the Impact review, Storm versus Rude, Street Fight, I'm okay with this.
I'm okay with it. I get this feeling King Mo's, I don't know, it's just, We'll get into this another week. I don't know. Something with the King Mo thing just doesn't seem right.
There was a rumor King Mo was going to make his Impact debut as far as wrestling goes at Bound for Glory, so we'll see if he gets involved.
He's going to be the enforcer, and it's just, when we hear more about him, we'll get into it. I don't know. It's just something seems like King Mo's going to be the focus of what a year-long storyline is. Anyway,
but yeah, so that's that topic.
So let's enter our question of the night.
What is growing in Damian Sandow's beard? What do the listeners have to say?
An intellectual revolution? Could be he's hiding his sanity. But then again, he's partnered with Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes' mask. Cody Rhodes' soul. A demon or, a demon child living in there. I got one response saying a world title. We got chickens, spelled C-H-I-C-K-I-N-S. Great spelling, people. And then we had one from Kane Kittens. Ric Flair's dignity, Lita's virginity, 10 size talent.
Which was awesome.
So yeah, that's what the people had to say. Lindy, what do you have to say?
Prince Humperdinck.
Prince Humperdinck. Why Prince Humperdinck?
Because the Princess Bride is on.
Got you.
Also, possibly a pamplemousse. Which is just an awesome word. But anyway, Rock, what do you think is hiding in it?
The truth to the meaning of life. He holds the truth to what life is all about inside that beard.
So he's hiding in number 47? 41?
Yes. He's hiding in his beard. That magical beard. I think if you rub it, you get a wish.
Actually, I really kind of want to see Daniel Bryan versus Damian Sandow versus Eric Young in a beard versus beard versus beard match with Chuck Norris as the special guest ref.
And the number's 42.
42, sorry.
Close enough.
Hi, Andre the Giant.
But yeah, his beard is epic. I wonder what Showtime EY's beard has to say about it.
I don't know, we can ask.
Might just have to. But yeah, that's our answer. That was our question tonight. Something, different, and it was, we really didn't have much else this week for the question tonight. Couldn't think of anything that, nothing was, we were too focused on what we're going to talk about. Well, torture of Sunday for Omega.
Yeah, which we came up with some good ones. So, but yeah. By the way, we're going to steal Kane Kitten's idea. We have a fantasy booking, which is basically this. For next week, by the way. Due next Thursday. 11 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. We demand answers. Booking a dream match from both the WWE and TNA rosters. If you could book one match, what would it be? Who would be in it? What would be the stips? And what the hell, where would it be?
Yes. That will be our question of the night next week. So send in your answers. We'll put it out on Facebook and Twitter next week. You can email them at media@wildtalkradio.com or tweet them to us at wildtalkradio at Lynn's Ward. Don't do it to WTR the Rack. WTRD_rack, because Lindsay will never see it, so just tweet at her and she'll actually see it.
Yeah. Unless you tell me to check the Twitter, and then I will check the Twitter. But yeah, so on that note, what's bugging us this week?
Honestly, for the first time, I got really nothing. I'm kind of good. I guess I could play it at Comcast, but I don't really. There's like, okay. They, you know, last night we were show prepping, and then all of a sudden, oh, the modem goes out. Yay! So I call Comcast, and then the stupid thing go, if you're calling from your Comcast home phone, we will be disconnected if we send a signal. Well, if the modem was working, the phone would work. Just saying. So the modem's not working. The phone doesn't work.
Yeah. Which is their trick.
Ugh. Just saying. Anyway, that's really all I got. I've been too out of it to, you know, have anything to bitch about.
You know, aside from my rant about the NFL refs, just have to say it kind of sucks that you can't major in art and minor in art at the same time because, you know, it's double dipping.
That dastardly double dipping to the same field.
Yeah. Boo earns to that.
But yeah, that's anything else you have to rant about?
That's about it.
So that means we're going to wrap up the show?
I guess that means we're going to wrap up the show.
Start plugging.
Well, you plug first because you have more.
Saturday night, midnight, this at CB Radio, join myself, Rob Parks, and Subway whenever the fuck they show up. As we talk about the weird, the wacky, and the usual, the countdown to 250 is on. This week it's 247. Everybody is invited to 250 to be on the show. That includes listeners, hosts of other shows. We want everyone to be on the show because it's going to be a show where we sit and bullshit for however long the show goes. So tune in for CB Radio 250. And you never know what surprises we may have for that one. Sunday night, Lindsay Ward, it's Russell Talk Radio, and there's a guest.
There is a guest, and he's made of awesomeness, and I want to have his kittens.
He reeks of awesomeness. He is the former multi-time tag team champion, world champion, Europe champion, former king of the ring. When he was king of the ring, he had a Stanley Cup, which was kind of awesome. He is the one, the only, the R-rated superstar, Edge.
All I can say is squee, and that is the most awesome interview we have done to date.
So yes, check out the rated R superstar Edge on Russell Talk Radio this Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We will talk all things Monday Night Raw. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik on the show. The one, the only, big, sexy, big daddy, cool, Kevin Nash.
Ooh.
Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer, Scott Barron, Cheap Wood Paneling, hashtag BS2012. Then we'll be back for another edition of Rack. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, CBRadio.EWAZone.com for the official website for CB Radio 250, WTRProductions.net, and that's it. Oh, and WTRF's new one coming out tomorrow.
Woohoo!
Now I'm good. Your turn.
Now you're good. All right. As the man said, you can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward. Follow the show at WTR_Rack, even though I don't technically check it. Yes, of course, tune in for Alan's interview with Kevin Nash. I'm sure that's going to be awesome. Tune in Sunday for the Edge interview where Omega, Mace, and I got to talk to him for 30 minutes. Oh, my God. It was so awesome. And, of course, tune in for all the other fine programming on the network. Please visit WTRProductions.net. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. psychwardesigns.com. You can check out my DeviantArt, linsward, linsward.deviantart.com, so you can see all my awesome artwork. And, of course, tune in to the show every week. Like I said, next week, tune in for the fantasy booking. We will put that out on Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, our TNA impact and any other witty discussions that we may hopefully come up with. Also, if you want to send us ideas, please do. Send them to media@wildtalkradio.com. We love to get listener ideas, questions, comments, discussion ideas, anything you guys want us to talk about, with the exception of overly sexual stuff, because, yeah, that's just not going to fly. We are happy to talk about it. But on that note, I think we're going to wrap it up for the evening.
I'm good.
All right, so for Rock, I am Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com, and we will see you later. Bye.